Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, editor of Buyer's Meeting Point. Today, I would like to welcome two guests, Robert Mason and Barry Evans, co-authors of the book, The Lean Supply Chain, Managing the Challenge at Tesco. It was published in September of 2015, and you can read my review on Buyer's Meeting Point. I will share a link to it on today's episode page. Barry Evans spent time working at Tesco as a lean process manager, where he developed ways in which lean thinking could be applied to Tesco's supply chain. He has also joined the Lean Enterprise Research Center at Cardiff Business School as a senior research associate. Robert Mason is a senior lecturer in logistics and operations management at Cardiff Business School and has led many business research projects with Tesco as a partner. Robert and Barry, thank you for joining me today.
No problem at all.
Our pleasure.
So before we jump in and start talking about the content of the book itself, as well as some of your other writing that's become available through the Kogan Page blog, if you would provide us with a little bit of background about how you came to decide that this would be a good topic for a book and how you came together to work on it.
Okay, well, Barry first. I guess that going to work for Tesco, I found them a completely different company to companies I'd worked for before. They seem to have a clarity of purpose and a vision of what they wanted to do. And particularly, they saw the merit in actually, as Terry Leahy said, following the customer rather than merely compete with competitors. And this sort of was put into practice in everything they did in terms of running their supply chain, running their stores. I think it was the first time in my life that I'd actually worked for a company that believed in what was effective for their customers rather than merely efficient for their internal supply chain or whatever. So it was just a completely different experience.
From my point of view, the grocery retail supply chain is a fascinating industry to look at. In essence, the grocery retailers make nothing, so they have to compete through how they organise their supply chain. So applying sort of our academic thinking here at Cardiff Business School into a grocery supply chain environment and to see how a company like Tesco, which was keen to improve its supply chain sort of performance to compete better in the marketplace, was a fantastic vehicle for us to research with. So the link Cardiff Business School struck up with Tesco to look at how we could apply lean thinking to their supply chain was a fantastic opportunity.
And as you both kind of mentioned, you both have sort of one foot in academia, at least in terms of your total experience, but another firmly planted in the real and very challenging business world of UK-based food grocery retail. If this book were to be used in a business school anywhere in the world and looked at as sort of a case study in facing a series of challenges and handling them well, what is it that you would want today's up-and-coming business minds to take away, to apply elsewhere down the road in their careers?
Again, Barry first. I think the first thing to say, Kelly, is that I'd worked for a number of other companies before, and if anything typified those companies, it was that they had a new strategy every other year, in some case every other few months. The big difference at Tesco was that strategy, the core purpose and the strategy remained largely unchanged. I don't mean to say it didn't change. It was improved and simplified, made more visual, better communicated over time as Tesco learnt and got more capable. But essentially, they focused on trying to do the same things, which was delivering value for customers, having a balanced scorecard approach to their stakeholders. And so change was evolutionary, true continuous improvement. And I think I would say that was what differentiated them.
I would just concur with Barry. I think it's, like you say, it's a case study. It's a mega case study of an organization that was very successful. It's going through some tough times now, but I think there's still that the foundations that it laid is actually helping it get it through these tough times rather than actually hindering them now. And I think there's a lot of very, very salutary lessons that many organizations in many industries can apply, large or small, to their own experience and situation. So I think sort of having a real clear focus and a clear purpose on what the organization is about and how it competes through supply chain prowess is something that transcends many, many sectors.
And so let me stay with you for just a second on a follow-up, and then we'll toss this question over to Barry to add something. I think when you talk about the things that Tesco was able to keep the same and their singular focus or vision that allowed them to navigate difficult waters, which combined circumstances of their own making as well as those that were in the external marketplace and the competitive levels there. One of the things that struck me was their absolute insistence on simplicity. And so it didn't matter how complex the problem was, if the solution or the process or the system didn't stick to simple principles, if there wasn't clarity and simplicity around it, it was sort of kicked back and rejected as not being refined enough. Is this something that people walk around at Tesco saying, you know, simplicity is the mantra? Or is it just part of the corporate mindset that's the barometer by which all suggestions and business decisions are gauged?
Well, when we sort of linked up with Tesco back in the 1990s, mid-1990s, they had three sort of theoretical texts that they referred to. One was the Lean Thinking text, which had been written by Dan Jones and Jim Womack, that we were very much involved with. Another one was the one about loyalty that came from Reichelt, and how to think about the customer for Tesco being not just a one-off customer, but someone who would go throughout their lifetime, so trying to keep their loyalty through the lifetime of the customer. And if you add up all the times they go in and how much money they spend with Tesco, it's more like buying a car in that sense rather than actually lots of, you know, small amounts that people buy. And the final one was simplicity, and it was De Bono's ideas about simplicity. And there was a constant sort of, like you say, sort of mantra in the business to continually question things, to make sure that they were not drowned by complexity, and actually everyone clearly understood in simple terms what the business was about and how it was trying to change itself to cope with the future. And it was constantly challenged itself to make things simpler and more clear and more easily understood. And this ranged from everything that I saw from trying to narrow down the change, you know, themes that the big business was coping with any one year, so that they were basically very there were a few big changes that were focused on to make sure everyone was behind them, to then deciding who was going to be accountable for them. So it was a very simple accountable structure to have one name accountable for each of these changes. And it went right through to, say, job descriptions that were offered, which had to be written on one page in words that everybody understood. So simplicity was something that the business just constantly challenged themselves on, in making sure the words, the themes, the ideas were understood and comprehended by everybody.
and Barry now, Kelly. I think the first thing to say is that simple is not the same as easy. Simplicity can be very, very hard and challenging to achieve. So it's a goal. It's like the continuous improvement goal. You know, you have to work hard over a long, long time to actually even approach perfection. But it was Terry Leahy who said that life was getting ever more complex, and his mission was to remove all the rubbish and waste that stop people focusing on customers, because that's essentially what Tesco is there to do, to look after its customers. And he realized that to do that, he had to make daily repetitive core tasks, things that happen millions and millions of times in a company like Tesco every year. Even if you can save a nanosecond of waste by making it more simple, simpler to do, the bottom line effect is huge. And that doesn't happen overnight. You have to work hard over a long, long time to actually, you know, make a start on that. And I guess, you know, I was there at the time where I saw all this happening.
So, Barry, when you talk about the difficult work that has to go into eliminating something like nanoseconds of waste and the focus that requires, you know, one of the things I think that usually comes to mind when you talk to people about lean supply chains, people think about carefully controlled inventory. They think about just-in-time deliveries. They think about reduction of waste. How do the principles that I think most people typically associate with manufacturing, with a parts-intensive business, translate to an industry like grocery retail where the product is literally perishable, not just in terms of how long it has the desired value to the market, but in terms of it being literally something that is legal and quality to sell? How do those principles apply in this industry?
Well, I think you have to go back to ask some basic fundamental questions about why do we have inventory? We have inventory essentially because we're not capable. So we hold inventory in either one distribution center or multiple distribution centers because we have this lack of capability. And to actually destock, to do it safely without impacting customer service, you have to go through a rigorous waste reduction and capability improvement program. And you can actually translate the five core lean principles of value stream, etc., into a route map. And essentially that route map is time. So the first step is time, squeezing out wasted effort, wasted time from your process. The second one escapes me for the moment, but step two, and I'll send you a graphic of this after the phone call so you've got it. But the second step is essentially setting up standardized methodology, all of the things that are included in 5S and standard work, so that you get more capable. The third is entering dialogue with all your supply chain partners so that everybody's moving in step. And once you squeeze the waste out of those three steps, and then they're iterative, you go round and round and round in the pursuit of perfection, then you can actually do the destocking. The point of having stock is because you're not capable. So those first three steps make you more capable, then you can safely destock. So the companies that sort of hit financial issues and the first sort of port of call is let's close a warehouse, let's take stock out. The first adverse wind that comes along will blow the whole house over because you've done the wrong thing in terms of where your capability is. So this is, I think, where the smartness of the Toyota production system comes in. It's about growing your capability, developing a workforce who are more and more capable of problem solving, addressing the issues, to move towards that perfect state. When you're there, then you can do all the clever things like destocking and what have you. So it's getting things in the right order, if you like. And as I said, I'll send you that visual. It's in the book, actually, Kelly.
Just to add to what Barry says, I sort of, although you say manufacturing and retailing are very different, in reality they're quite similar. The lean ideas are really about logistics ideas and how to organise things. And I think Tesco, although they're commonly perceived as a retailer, they see themselves as a logistics company. How do you get the range of merchandise they procure into their shops and into their online business so that the customers can get them the best they can and organise, and that's a logistics task. We know it as a retailer, but actually that's what they're doing, the logistics. And they actually take ownership of the product from the factory gate of their suppliers right through to delivering to our homes today. So it is that logistics idea that is common in manufacturing and retail, really, and all we've done is apply it there. The other thing that's slightly different is that car manufacturing, in effect, that lean was organized around the manufacturer and the factory, and then there was a buffer of stock of finished vehicles after the factory. Tesco in the grocery world provides a different area. In effect, we can go lean, if you like, from the customer right back. So there isn't this buffer of stock after the production stage to some extent. We can actually lean up the supply chain as a total end-to-end much more. And this is seen today by things like the, say, fresh fish that's bought or caught, if you like, in the UK off the North Sea coast. And if a customer puts an order online, that order is, if you like, transmitted to the fisherman, who then basically catch the fish, it's stocked and prepared for market. It's then shipped overnight from the North Coast ports to distribution centres, and then straight to the customer in under 24 hours. So we're talking about an end-to-end supply chain there that is really lean, very quick, very time-compressed, and has very little waste in it. So I think there's great lessons you can learn from the grocery sector, retail sector, for lean logistics.
And just to give you those references again, Kelly, and apologies, there's no continuous improvement for my memory, I'm afraid. Getting too long in the tooth, so getting worse. Page 127 and 128 in the book, table 5-6. So the steps are establishing process control, step 2 is time compression, step 3 is collaboration, and 4 is structure. And that sort of describes what I talked about a couple of minutes ago.
Excellent, Barry, thank you. Now, as we sort of wrap up, one of the other things that you've had the opportunity to do is to continue expanding on the content covered in the book through some of your blog posts on the Kogan page site, and I'll put links to a couple of these, again, on today's episode page with the book review. But a recent one that you published was particularly interesting because it gets to this role of the consumer that not only drives priorities in the market, but also ultimately drives Tesco's purpose. And you talk about how consumer expectations have been revolutionary rather than evolutionary. Can you expand a little bit on what that means and how it's exhibiting itself in the industry, as well as what businesses should be prepared to do in response?
Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess, an answer that is particularly relevant to the UK and the way the UK market changed, but I think probably applies elsewhere. In the UK, we had the global financial crisis, 2007, 2008. We had building societies and banks starting to fail. That led to people's jobs under threat. And I particularly remember that in the UK, at least, there was quite an evidence of people taking cuts in hours rather than losing, you know, and more people staying in a job and at least earning something. What all of that led to was that people's income was squeezed. So all of a sudden, there was a strong need for people to look at the way they shopped for the essentials for their family. You know, the food, the drink, the washing powder, whatever it might have been. And all of a sudden, the discounters, Aldi and Lidl, who had been in the UK for some time, were no longer seen as not the place to be seen, if you like. It actually became the smart place to be seen. It was shown that you were being responsible in the way you manage your family budget, etc. So Aldi and Lidl in particular enjoyed tremendous growth. And if you look at the Kantar World Panel figures over the last 7, 8, 9 years, you can see that the big four multiples in the UK have lost market share, and the Aldi and Lidl discounters have grown phenomenally. What this has led to is that the four major grocery companies have had to respond by big margin reductions. So whereas a margin of 5, 5.5, 6% in the annual figures of a retailer was common a few years ago, they're now operating at margins of 2 to 2.5%, and that of course is a revolutionary change. You know, it's I think that it's relatively easier to deal with evolutionary change, but when a revolution like that comes along, much more difficult. And it's quite clear that, like an ocean-going liner, it has been difficult for the big companies to handle that, to you know, steer through that problem, and they're still going through it. I hope there's not too many analogies there, but
I'll add a little bit to it. I think the changes we've seen are focused on time for consumers, so they're shopping more in their neighborhood convenience stores than they used to, rather than the big mall shops. I think we're seeing a big growth in the discount stores, like you, Barry said, but also a growth in the upmarket stores. So the ones in the middle, the mass retailers, are getting squeezed to some extent. And then obviously there's the massive growth of the internet, and the internet is one developing or creating more convenience for customers. But I think the other thing is it's creating a much more focus on price, because you can very quickly compare prices. So there's a if you like, as well as those economic conditions that Barry talked about, the internet highlights price a lot more. And as a consequence, you're seeing this big squeeze in terms of retailers on price and on margins, an emphasis on more convenience and more online offers, and away from their big shed mega offers, if you like, in their hypermarkets. And I think the structural thing, is the problem for them, is that the supply chain, you'd like to have flexibility to adjust to cope with this. Now, Tesco anticipated a lot of these changes a number of years ago and were at the forefront of developing responses to these. You know, the convenience market, they've got about 1,500 convenience stores. They've got a fantastic online offer. But they're also were unable to pull out of their big stores quick enough, if you like. So they've got a lot of real estate that isn't really working hard enough for them. And this causes problems in terms of profitability. So I think the big lesson here, and why the revolutionary change can be termed that, is that actually the change of the consumer demand is happening faster than the retailers can cope with them, if you like, in terms of their evolution. So I think it is posing some really seismic problems, and those problems aren't going to go away in the next decade or so. I think they'll just exacerbate, really.
And yet I'll selfishly say, as a procurement professional, despite how great those challenges are, I'm thrilled that we find ourselves sort of in the right position to hopefully be a part of the solution. So Barry and Robert, thank you so much for your time today, as well as for the tremendous effort you put into writing this book. Again, for anyone who has not yet read it, the book is The Lean Supply Chain, Managing the Challenge at Tesco, I highly recommend reading it, and that goes well beyond grocery or retail at all. There are lessons and valuable content in this book that will apply regardless of your industry. Thank you both so much for your time.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much, Kelly, and thank you for your endorsement. And we look forward to receiving any queries from people who read the book in the future if they want to talk to us in the future about anything.
Thank you both.
Okay, bye.
Bye.